Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. Hey, we've got a special guest on the phone, head coach of the Alexandria Tech and Community College baseball team, the Legends, they call themselves, Brandon Hill. Brandon, congratulations on making it to the College World Series.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be back on. We kind of set this up. I said, hey, if we make the World Series, I got to hop on Q92 for old time's sake.
That's so right. You've been on other radio stations. You got to be on Q92, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For you listeners that don't know, Brandon Hill is a graduate of La Caparra Valley and is part of the Madison Mallard amateur baseball team, and he has been head baseball coach at Alec Tech and Community College. For what? How many years is this? Two for you?
Yep, this is my second year as the head coach.
Okay. Talk about the history of the baseball program at Alec Tech.
Yeah, so this is only our fourth season as a baseball program. Basically, all of our athletics at Alexandria Tech started 4 years ago. Obviously, a lot of local people that you know from the area, too. I went to school in Alec before there were ever sports there either. So
yeah.
For the most part, all of our sports and activities have been really successful right away, like our baseball team. Out of our 4 years, we've won the conference 3 years. We've made it now to the regional final 3 times, and we finally won it this year. And our volleyball team in their first season got second in the nation, and we have men's and women's soccer, men's and women's golf. We have things like bass fishing and trap shooting and all sorts of stuff that kind of compete nationally. So that's kind of the history of where sports started. We're pretty early, but pretty successful so far, too.
I guess. Well, Brandon, I don't know if you know this, but I graduated from Alec Tech and Community College, Alec Tech at the time, back in the mid-70s. The only thing we had was flag football, and we always competed with the law enforcement classes. So that's the only sport we had.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we had intramural basketball, too, but flag football was a big deal back in the 70s at Alec Tech. I remember that. So.
And now they're bringing back, it's only the women's sport, but women's flag football for the first time next year. They're going to have a team. So.
Oh, Alec Tech is?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's exploding across the country, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to hear all about the exciting weekend because it's actually unbelievable what transpired. It was in St. Cloud, right?
Yeah, it was in St. Cloud. So kind of give you the brief overview of our season. We've obviously been pretty good. We won our regular season title a few weeks ago, so that was pretty exciting. So we got that under our belt, and then which qualified us for the region tournament, which is in St. Cloud. It's essentially a two-week-long tournament, but the first weekend you have to get through and qualify for the Final Four, which was what was this weekend. So we won our first 2 games last weekend. We were the undefeated team. We're the number one seed in the tournament. That put us into this weekend in the Final Four. The 4 teams that made it through were us, St. Cloud, Century College, which is in White Bear Lake, and then Rochester Community College. So we opened up. We played Rochester on Thursday. We had never played them before. We had played both Century and St. Cloud a bunch of times. But we came out. We have not had any sort of game like this at all to this point in the season. Through the first 2 innings, we were down 10-0. We weren't committing errors or anything. We weren't walking guys or anything like that. We just could not get anyone out, which we've never had that experience. We have a pretty good pitching staff. And then we couldn't score, and we were getting absolutely shut down. And for whatever higher power rained down upon us, the clouds came over and it poured, and we had to stop the game. And we had to sit for 2 hours, and we waited and sat in the locker room and told stories and, battle stories of different comebacks and things like that. Go ahead.
So you were down 10-0 when the rain delay happened.
Yes.
And then you had to go sit in the dugout or the locker room down 10-0.
Yep. So
that's not a good feeling.
No, we knew we were a good offense, and we spent a lot of time talking about, hey, we've been through this comeback before, and then we had 2 hours, so at across the 2 hours, at some point, every single player and every single coach told a story of some capacity, and some of them were about baseball, some of them weren't about baseball, and some were about different events in their life or inspiring things. So by the end of the 2 hours, everyone had spoken, and my piece of it was, is I told kind of the history of my life in baseball and different things that I had been through too. But, I sat around and I was kind of going, do I think of some sort of inspirational speech to give the team, or how do I go about this? And I always would remember, my dad would complain about the Gophers football coach, Tim Brewster. And he would go, man, this guy can get you fired up to run through a brick wall. He goes, but our teams are terrible. So obviously there's a little bit more to it than that. So I've always kind of remembered that, hey, you can be as inspiring and fired up as you possibly want, but it really comes down to the players that you have and having the right players. So instead, I went through our schedule, looked at our offense, all these different statistics and things like that, and I said, hey, fellas, we have 6 innings left of this game. We're down 10-0. Whether it gets finished tonight or tomorrow, we're down 10-0, and we've got 6 innings left. Do you guys know how many times in games this year that we've scored 11 or more runs in 6 innings? And they go, 5 times, 6 times, 8 times. I said, we've scored 11 or more runs in 6 innings or less 19 different times before today.
Wow. Said,
we are more than capable of doing this, and that kind of surprised them a little bit too. So like, okay, if we kind of bear down and reset, we can maybe have a chance to do it. And they called it off officially, but so we went home kind of hanging our heads down 10-0, and we came back on Friday to resume the game. Started in the 4th inning. We got a 0 right away from our pitchers, and we scored 4 runs. So it was 10-4 going into the 5th, and we're like, hey, we can definitely do this. And brought out our best bullpen guy, and he shut him down the rest of the way. And we cut it to, well, they scored 2 more runs eventually. So we cut it to 12-11 in the bottom of the 7th inning, and we had 2 runners on, and our right fielder hit a walk-off 3-run home run. So we came all the way back from 10-0. We won on a walk-off 3-run home run in the bottom of the 9th inning and won 13-12. So that's the biggest comeback I've ever been a part of on either side. It was absolutely amazing.
What was the emotions when the ball went over the fence?
We had a guy, luckily, on 3rd at the time. So we're like, hey, we have a chance to get a sac fly, at least get him in and tie the game. But, like, there's videos of it, too, if you look at any of our social media. And I know you've seen them, too, but they cleared the center field fence. The center fielder was waiting there to try to jump and rob it, and it got over his head and over his glove, and everyone out of the dugout just went absolutely berserk and mobbed the guys on the field, and it was the craziest finish to a game that I've maybe ever been a part of. And
awesome.
Makes it a little extra sweet, too, because, you know, we're the number one team, and as much as teams maybe say they want to play us, I think everyone collectively in the stadium outside of our team was hoping we were going to lose, and we're kind of celebrating that we were down. So that was a good feeling to kind of stick it to them and say that's why we're the number one team. So we can come back and do that too.
Wow, what a finish, what a game. 13-12 over Rochester, right?
Yep, 13-12. So we gave them a 10-0 head start and found a way to come back and steal it from them.
Did you celebrate the rest of the evening then?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, since the schedule got pushed back, is we won 13-12, and that game was done at, you know, like 1 or 2 o'clock, and then we awaited the winner of St. Cloud and Century, and we had to play that night at 8:30 to make for a spot in the region title game. So we had to sit for 5 hours and kind of regroup after probably the most emotional game that any of our players have ever been a part of. And we went to the 8:30 game against who we feel is probably the toughest team in the tournament, and had a great performance. We beat them 12-4 and earned our spot in the championship game. We ended on a home run to walk it off for the run rule, and it was pretty sweet.
Another walk-off.
Yeah, so that one was at least the run rule, so we weren't kind of in danger of losing, but our four-hitter, who's our best hitter, launched one over the scoreboard, so as soon as that was off his bat, everyone kind of went crazy. So.
Okay, so you played in the championship game on Saturday then?
Yep, so that qualified us for the championship game, so we just waited to see who would come back through the loser's bracket between St. Cloud Century and Rochester, and St. Cloud ended up making it through. And if you know anything about Alec baseball and kind of our team for the 4 years, St. Cloud is pretty much the biggest rival in sports that we could have in the universe. So they're an hour down the road. They're usually one of the best teams. They're in our division as well, so we always play them 4 times no matter what. And had some good battles with them, and we were kind of excited to get a chance to play them in the championship game. It's on their home field, too, so if we were going to ever make a World Series, it felt pretty sweet to do it against the team that is our rival, ended on their home field, and why not face them to go have a chance to play at the World Series? So we were set up to play St. Cloud.
Okay, and how'd that go for you then? What was the score?
It ended up, it's terrible that I don't remember this, but it was so many runs. I think it ended up, I got to double check.
That's it.
It was like 17-13 or something like that.
Okay.
There's so many runs throughout the variety of the game. So, but anyways, I mean, how it started, we had a lot more pitching left than almost any other team left. So, like, we knew that we could go deeper into games and kind of be okay. So we got off to like a huge lead in the 3rd, 4th inning. At one point, we were up 10 runs. So they just kind of kept chipping away. And by the last inning, since it has to go 9 in championship games, there's no run rule. They had bases loaded. Their best hitter was on deck, so like to keep the game going, you know, that would have cut it to one run if the next guy got on, and then their best hitter was coming up next, who had already hit a home run in that game, with a chance to hit a grand slam to potentially take the lead against us. And our left-handed pitcher came in and to close out the ninth and got a ground ball up the middle. He threw it to with the bases loaded to the catcher at home and got the out, and our catcher spun around and threw it to first, and our first baseman came off the bag, caught it in the air, tagged the guy going to first, and the double play to end it. So wow. Everyone mobbed the field and went crazy. So
wow, to go to the National World Series, that's awesome. Some exciting wins for you there, Brandon.
Yeah, so it was pretty unbelievable. I mean, if you're going to go win a championship or go to the national tournament, you might as well make it a little extra exciting, I guess. So that was pretty unreal.
Good. Well, congratulations. So tell us about the World Series. It's a Junior College World Series, right?
Yeah, the Junior College World Series. So that's for two-year programs, which is what we're a part of. So we'll go play in Johnson City, Tennessee. We're awaiting the official bracket and seating. So we entered our playoffs as the number six team in the country. So we'll get either a 4 or 5 or a 6 seed most likely in the national tournament, which typically doesn't happen out of our region in the Midwest. For the first time last year, we actually had a team make a really good run through the region tournament, which was Century, who actually ended up getting second in the nation.
Mm.
Other than that, like, our league is not necessarily like a national power or anything like that. We haven't had teams that are super highly ranked throughout the course of the years. So we'll be one of the first teams to kind of get a high seed potentially in the national tournament. And if you look at it, we'll most likely play either Niagara, who's out of New York, who we've played 3 times already this year, and we beat them once, or we'll play Brookdale, which is out of New Jersey. So, and they're both very unbelievable teams. They have a lot of Division I players on their team that will move on next year, so there'll be a pretty good battle there. And it's an 8-team tournament, double elimination, and you play as long as you play. It can go a week or it can go 2 days. So,
okay, when's it start again?
It starts on Saturday. The official like selection show and seating show would be tomorrow night, and that sets up the games. So we'll play on Saturday in Johnson City. Whether that's in the morning or at night will be determined by what seed they give us. We'll head off on our team bus Wednesday from Alexandria, stay overnight somewhere probably in like Indiana Wednesday night, get down to Tennessee on Thursday, and then we'll stay overnight there and got the your opening ceremonies and media stuff and practice stuff and things like that and get to see the stadium. And then Saturday we go and play.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm sure there's a way we can watch or listen. Do you know that information yet or not?
Yeah. So if anyone's interested in following the team too, always like check out our social media accounts, like whether you use Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, we're on all that different type of stuff. So if you search, you know, Alexandria Legends Baseball or anything, you should be able to kind of find that. And we'll always put out information there too. So all the tournament games for the national tournament will be broadcasted. That'll be through the NJCAA, which is the Junior College Athletics Affiliate. So there'll be, I think, official broadcasts with commentary and score bug and all that good stuff too. So for anyone that wants to watch it, you'll be able to. I'm sure it costs a little fee to be able to watch the games, but we'll send that out too, and we'll pass it along to you, Paul, and you can pass along to anyone else who's interested too. So
absolutely, will do. I know your dad was texting me almost inning by inning the other night, so he was keeping me informed.
Yeah. So
hey, we didn't really talk about any of the players on your team. Let's just take a minute here, Brandon. Maybe tell us some of your starters or whatever, your best pitchers, who they are, and where they're from.
Yeah, from all Minnesota too. It'll be kind of fun. Like when we go and play, you know, New York teams, they're from the greater area of, you know, New York City, or we play Dallas or all those different teams too. For the most part, we have 30 active players on the roster for the playoffs, which is what everyone gets. 28 of those 30 are essentially from Eastern North Dakota or somewhere in Minnesota. So a lot of our best players are from around Alexandria, North Dakota, kind of within that like 100 miles of Alexandria, which is also not particularly common. We don't have a lot of players from big metropolitan areas at all. The biggest city that a local player of ours come from is Farmington. Otherwise, Wadena, Perham, New York Mills, Fargo, Breckenridge is kind of where our players come from.
Wow.
So I'm anticipating who will start the first game for us in Tennessee would probably be Jack Lundquist. He's from Bemidji. He's a freshman. And then if you look at like a typical lineup for us, our center fielder, Sam O'Shocks from Breckenridge, Matt Bryant from Fargo, Kobe Snyder from Wadena, Jonah DeYoung from Fargo. Ethan Mueller, who's from Belgrade. Gabriel Cabrera is one of our international guys. He's from Venezuela. And then you would have Alex Bloom from Perm. You'd have Colby Hansen from Fargo. And then you would have, I'm forgetting one, oh, Caden Evers from Sleepy Eye, who's one of our catchers, too.
Okay.
So, pretty local.
You have a good following of parents and grandparents or whatever? Or good fan base?
Yeah, that's one thing, too. And we really do put the hours in to try to kind of keep our local guys and get them to Alec and things. Like, we can find talented baseball players from kind of all over the place, Texas or California or Florida, but we kind of like to have that cohesive culture of local guys and guys who kind of get along together and share the same values. And then what comes with that too is a lot of parents that get along, support the team, help us with travel stuff and food and all sorts of different things too. So this is the first year, like, I've been a part of it. We have a group message with all of the parents on it for a collegiate team, which isn't super common. Usually people would probably stay away from that, but
yep.
So they're always sharing where we're traveling, where we're staying, helping the boys out and stuff too. So when you get all of those local guys, it kind of makes life easier for that type of stuff and makes it pretty special. So,
all right. Well, congratulations again, Brandon. This is great. Go win a national championship. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it'll be something. We'll step on the field against some pretty talented teams, but
yep.
At the end of the day, our biggest goal is to go get a chance to play in Tennessee. So we'll be happy with wherever the pass kind of ends at this point in time, but we'd love to go win a game or kind of have a chance yep. to make a run. But we're happy to be down there, and we're excited that all these people want to support us and follow along and congratulate us. So,
all right. Thanks a lot, Brandon, for the time. Appreciate it, and have fun this week.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Yep. That's Brandon Hill, head coach of the Alexandria Legends in the National Junior National Baseball Championship in Tennessee this weekend.